Hey there, my name's Gary Sims, and this is Gary Explains. I'm always keen on trying to get people to try new things, to learn new things. And today I want to look at Go, the programming language that originally came from Google. And I realize I haven't done any videos here about Go. And to make it more interesting, we can do it on a Raspberry Pi. You can do it on a Mac, you could do it on Windows, but we're doing it on a Raspberry Pi. So Go is an open source programming language. Kind of it's hereditary, comes from the kind of the C ideas, but it really is a programming language in its own right, completely open source, free to download, free to try. It's used by Google internally, in fact, used by lots of companies internally. It's been around for, as I said, since 2007, so it's got a lot of maturity behind it, and it is actually quite a fun little programming language. So, if you want to find out more, please let me explain. Okay, so the first step is to download and install Golang. As I said, we're going to do this on a Raspberry Pi, but as you can see, it's available for Windows, for the Apple Mac on Mac OS, for both the M1 and the M2 processor, and also for the x86 processor. It's available for lots and lots of different versions of Linux. And if you scroll down here, at the time of making this video, the latest version is Go 1.1. No, by the way, you need to go to go.dev/DL to download the versions. Now we're looking at all the different versions here. It tells you the OS. So obviously we want something for Linux. What do we want? We want ARM. So there's two of those here like this. Now we're either going to go for ARM 64 or ARM V6L. If you're running a 64-bit version of Linux on your Raspberry Pi, then you want to go with this version. You are probably still running a 32-bit version. I am on mine, even though the Raspberry Pi 4 is a 64-bit machine, it's actually got a 32-bit operating system by default, so you pick this one. So I'm going to download this one. If in doubt, download the ARM V6 one. If you know that you've installed the 64-bit version, then go with the 64-bit version. Okay, so I'm going to download this file here. Okay, that is now downloading, and I can see it here in my downloads directory. So all we're going to do is unpack that tar file into user local, and the way you do that is using tar-c to set the root where it's going to unpack it, and that's in user local. X because it's extract, Z because it's compress, F because we want to specify the file, which in this case is go 119. Now you're going to probably need to do superdo in front of it so that you can have permission to write in your user local directory. We run that and it will unpack it. Okay, now that's complete, we can actually have a look in user local and go, and then we can see that's where it's all been unpacked. Now you need to add the binary directory. If you see here, there's that binary directory to your to your path, so that you can run the go command. And that's very simple. What you need to do is edit your .profile file. So we're going to air nano, you could use vi, you could use whatever you want, and it's .profile. And you scroll down to the very bottom of that, and you can see I've already got an export command there for, I think that's for Rust. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to say export path is equal to, and we say $path /user/local/go/bin, and that's it. Okay. And then you need to save that file, and you need to start a new terminal. We need to log out of here and start a new terminal, which we're going to do now. So that picks up the new file. Sometimes restarting the terminal is not enough. You actually need to log out completely and log back in again. If you find that the go command is not found, then instead you can just run that profile file that we just edited by saying source $home.profile, and that will make sure that path is set. And once you've done that, you can now type go version, and it will show us there we are, 1.9 on Linux ARM, exactly as we're expecting. So now the next step, of course, is to write our first Go program. Okay, to do that, I like to keep all of my different programs in a folder called source. You might have one called projects or whatever it is you have. That's what I have mine. And inside of my source folder, I'm going to create a folder called a directory called Golang. So we go into Golang, and that's going to be where I'm going to keep all my source code. Now, inside the Golang directory, it's good to create a directory for each project that you are going to be building. So I am going to create a folder called a directory called Hello W, because that's where we're going to be creating our Hello World program. So we go into there, and I've got Visual Studio Code installed on here. So you can just do code dot, and it will start up Visual Studio Code inside of that directory. Now, when Visual Studio Code comes up, you may get it offering you to install the various kind of extensions and helper functions for Golang. That's good if you want to go ahead and do that. That's not a problem. Now, inside of our Hello W folder, we want to create a program called HelloW.go, a source file. Now, the source file needs to contain three specific things. The first line is we need to define what package this program is part of. So we declare a package called main, and a package is a way to group functions together, and it's made up of all the files in the same directory. We also want to import an existing package from the standard library, and this one is called FMT for format, and it contains functions for formatting text, including to printing out to the console, which is what we're going to do, and it's part of the standard library of Go. And then finally, we want to create a main function. Main is where the program starts. So you do that in Go by saying func, pentril function, main. We don't want any parameters, and then some curly brackets, very similar to C. In look, notice main, curly brackets there, because Go was inspired in many ways by C. And then to print it out, we don't just do print line or printf. We have to start with format, because that's the name of the package. And then we can do println, notice the capital P there. And we can type in hello, comma, world, exclamation mark. You don't need a semicolon there at the end. Okay, and that's our program. Three parts: define what package you are, import what packages you need, and then write our first function. Okay, so let's save that. And now what we can do, we can open up a terminal here inside of Visual Studio. So if you look here, we can see our Go file. There is hellow.go. And to run it, it's really simple. You just do go run hellow.go, and that will automatically compile and run the program for us. And there it goes. It prints out hello world. Okay, so that's a very simple program. Let's look at a couple of other things that we might want to learn, you know, variables and loops and functions for our basic understanding of how Go works. Okay, so I'm going to close the shell here. We go back into our program. We'll keep editing the Hello W Go program. We could, of course, create a new directory, a new folder, and then start another program. Now, what we're going to do here is we're now going to define ourselves a new function. So let's call it add. And we're going to add two numbers together. Nothing particularly hard, but it shows you how you can write a function. Now, in Go, it's if we want these two parameters, let's say X and Y, that we're going to add them together. What's really interesting is that the type, the definition of what type of variable X is, goes afterwards. So X is an integer, so you do X space int. It would come beforehand in lots of other languages. And we can do Y space int. Okay, so that's telling us that it's it adds up two integers. Okay, and X is an integer and Y is an integer. And then we put here what you return. In this case, we're returning an integer. And then we have our curly brackets here for creating the function. And of course, the function itself is going to be really easy. We're going to return what? X plus Y. Nothing particularly complicated there. So that's how you define a function. A couple of things to note is you need to define the type of variable you're going to return, and that's done at the end, not here at the beginning as it would be, let's say, in C or C++. And you define the types of the variables going in, and they go after the variable name. Notice again, you don't need any semicolon. So in here now, we can actually say print, and what we're going to print is add, okay, 42 and 101. Okay, so we're going to add up 42 and 101, and that's and it's going to call that function and return it, and all we're going to get on the screen is a number that gets printed out. Okay, so we'll go back to another terminal again, and we're now going to go run hello go. There you go, 143, which looks right to my eye. So there you go, we've seen how to write a quick function. Okay, let's have a quick another look, another interesting thing about functions, and that is that in Go, you can return multiple things. So here we just return an integer. In fact, you can return multiple things. So what we're going to do now is we're going to swap two strings around. Okay, so if we have string X, okay, and it's a string, and we have Y, and it's a string, okay, and we want to return a string and a string, and you put that in brackets because there's multiple of them there. So it takes a string and a string in, and it returns a string and a string. So that's really interesting. It means you can return two things. And all we're going to do is actually we're just going to swap them around. So we'll return Y first and then X. So if you pass in X and Y, you get Y and X out. So that's pretty simple. So what we'll do here is we'll keep our add function, and then we're going to say here that A and B are now colon equals, this is how you do an assignment. Colon equals is how you assign to A and B what we're getting from, and we're going to type in here hello as one parameter and world as the other. And now if we do a format dot print line, okay, we can print out A and B, and we know we're going to get them as world and hello, so they're going to come round the other way around. So that's really, really just a very simple demonstration of returning multiple things from a function, in this case in a different order. So let's go ahead and save that, and then we can go back to our terminal here and run it again. So hello go, so we should get 143, and then we get world hello because it's swapped around the order of hello and world. And return. Now think about this, it's very powerful because now you can pass things into functions, you can return multiple things, and that's very, very useful. You get it in other programming languages like Python and so on. So that's really, really a great improvement, in my opinion, over languages like C. So let's see what else we can learn. Now, one thing you would have noticed, we didn't define the types of A and B because it automatically works out that swap returns two strings, so it turns gives you those in exchange. Let's, for example, now define something else. Let's do a var, and let's call it I, and we're going to define that it is an integer. Okay, and then what we can do is down here, we can say something like, now we can assign to I. Now you notice now this time we don't need to use the colon equal, because the colon equal, as we saw here with A and B earlier on, is how you assign to it, but it's also a short form that actually puts the word var in front of it. So what we actually did was that we did a bit of a cheat with saying variables A and B exist and we're going to assign to them, and it does all that automatically with this colon equals. Now that we've already defined I to be an integer and it's a var, then all we need to do now is just say I is equal to 7, and we can do again, we can print this out now and get that out. So let's save that and run a new terminal again, and there you go, we get the 7 printed out. So this is a really powerful way of getting things assigned declaring them at the same time. If you do declare them separately, then you don't need to use the colon. Now, Go itself has got lots and lots of interesting basic types. So you've also got booleans, strings, all the integers. You can have floating point numbers. You can have complex numbers. They're basically, you'd use them as you would expect. Let's just have a quick look here at a boolean. So we can say var b bool. And we can actually assign that actually at the same time. We can make that equal to false. And then we could test that later on down here in the code. We could do something. So let's have a look at that. This is an if statement. We've not used if statements until now. So we can type here, if B is equal to true, curly brackets, okay. And then if we want an else part to that, else, like this, what we're going to say, we can put in a format dot print line, and we can say, you know, B is true, very simple. And then down the other part, the else part, we could say print line, you know, B is false. Oh, before we run that, one thing I've noticed, I've used B before. That was my mistake there. Let's change this to flag. Okay, yeah, variable flag, if flag is equal to true, and then we'll put here B flag. And the reason that is because we already used A and B, and sorry about that, didn't notice that as I was typing the code. Flag, that's a better variable name. Okay, let's give that a go. Let me say flag is false because we set flag to be false up here. So that's an if statement and also using a boolean. We'll just do a couple of loops, and I think we'll call it a day for this very first basic introduction to Go. Okay, so what we're going to do for loops. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to do a for loop, and it's very similar to what you would do inside of C, for example. So we can say for, let's use J, J, declare and assign to be equal to 0, J is less than 10, J plus plus. So you have an initializing phase, which basically gives you J becomes equal to 0, you declare it and assign it. J is less than 10, we'll keep going round. What's the condition? We keep going round while J is less than 10, and each time we go round, we add 1 to J. curly brackets, and then we can just do format dot print line, and then we'll just print out J. So let's run that and see what happens. And there you go. Flag is false, was that we just scrolled up the top there, and then we've got 0 through to 9. That's our loop. J is less than 10, and 9 of course less than 10, but 10 is not less than 10, so it stops at 9 there. Now, interestingly enough, with Go, you can don't actually have to have the beginning bit or the end bit. So what you can actually do is just do J is less than 10. So if we did J, we assign it here like that, and then we do J plus plus there like that, we've got a very basically a while loop. So the while loop and the for loop inside of Go are basically the same thing. You can either declare it all in this beginning part, or you can use it in a more traditional method like this with only one part, which is basically the condition. So let's save that and just run that again. And there you go, you can see we still get the same loop out. So for and while are basically the same thing inside of Go. For is while, basically. And actually, you can just get rid of the condition as well. So if you wanted to run forever, so kind of a while true, you just take out all the conditions, and that is now a for loop that run forever. We'll run it, and then we'll have to interrupt the program because it will just keep on going. But let's see what happens here. Okay, there you go. It starts printing out numbers and doesn't stop. Stop, stop. There we go. Got it to stop. Okay, so that's it. So as you can see, this is C-like, Java-like, but it's not. It's its own language. It is Go is specific. And there are lots of other more interesting things to learn about concurrency and all this kind of stuff about Go. But here you can basically see the building blocks for how you can start to write programs. Variables, for loops, if loops. So give it a go and try it out, and tell me how you get on. Okay, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this quick look at the basics to get you up and running using Go. Don't stop here. Much more to learn. Keep on going. Lots of good documentation over there at the go.dev website. Keep experimenting. Keep playing with it. And do let me know in the comments what you think. Okay, that's it. My name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed the video, as I said. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. And if you like these kind of videos, why not stick around by subscribing to the channel? Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Gary Explains, and I also have a monthly newsletter. Go over to GaryExplains.com, type in your email address, no spam, but you will get the newsletter. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.